Welcome to The Wonder, exploring perspectives, rituals, and observances of modern, naturalistic, earth-revering, pagan religious paths. Here are your hosts, Yucca and Mark.
So, welcome to The Wonder.
Welcome.
This is a place where we're going to talk about non-theist paganism and its orientation to the great wide universe and the things that we do as non-theist pagans in terms of ritual and celebration and philosophy and all those things that are important to us to have a meaningful life.
So we're going to start this by introducing you to who we are and how we got into non-theist paganism.
That said, gentlemen first, just to be contrarian, which we often are. My name is Mark, and I have been an atheist all my life. I was raised in a scientific household. It never even crossed my mind that people literally believed in gods until I was in middle school, when I started noticing that there were all these churches everywhere. And there were all these people that were going into these churches to do something every Sunday. Literally, I was that clueless about it. I did not recognize that this was something that was common in our culture until I was 13 or 14 years old. I became involved in the pagan community when I was 24. And that was the result of my being invited by a friend to an autumnal equinox circle. And as a deep, lifelong environmentalist, I was super moved by the commitment to the sacredness of the earth and the cycles that the earth goes through, and the concept of recognizing those moments, the equinoxes, the solstices, the moments between, that mark the passage of time in our lives. I just felt like I was missing out on these tremendous natural cycles that I had been theoretically respecting before, but wasn't really down in my body getting before. And so that was a very moving experience for me, but at the same time, there was a lot of stuff that was really awkward for me. There was standing around holding hands. There was talking to invisible beings. There was invoking gods. And long story short, I went through a long process with the pagan community until there came a moment when I was confronted by several events where people in the pagan community used their allegiance to gods as excuses for really unethical behavior. And at that moment, I said, I'm out. I don't care if you say it's the will of the gods. I think gods are ideas. I don't think gods are beings. And you cannot excuse treating people this way or doing this sort of thing just by invoking the names of gods. So I left. And within 6 months, I was sorry because I missed it. I missed the rituals and I missed the celebrations and I missed the majesty of the maypole and the burning cauldron and the Yule log, all of those things that we do that connect us with traditions that are old and also remind us of the power of the natural world as it goes through its cycles. And what that did was it forced me into a reevaluation. And the reevaluation basically led me to ask, what's a religion really? And why does it do stuff that's important for us? And what does that mean about the evolution of the brain over time? And given all that, what should we be doing now? And it took about 5 years. And I created a path called atheopaganism, which is now a thing. And there are people, hundreds, almost 2,000 on the Facebook group, who follow this path now, who share with me this deep embrace of the beauty of living, the magnificence of being gifted with this one temporary, small, extraordinary life in this universe that is overwhelmingly magnificent to be a part of. And that's what I'm about now. What I'm about is living that life and offering that path to others if that's something that they choose. So that's me.
Well, that's fantastic. So, hi, Mark.
Hi, Arwin. Yep. Sorry, we have to clip that out. Hi, Yucca.
No, that's okay. So I am Arwin, but I do online use the name Yucca. And I'm using that because it's what a lot of people know me by. So I've been on the pagan YouTube community for, I was trying to figure it out, I think about 12 years now.
Yeah, wow.
So it's definitely changed over the years. But I was actually raised pagan in a mostly pagan family. As families go, there's always divide between families, or not always, but sometimes. So I came from a family where my parents had different religions, but my mother passed when I was very young. So I was raised mostly by my father. And I am often a little bit vague when I talk about it because I want to respect the privacy of my family members. Not that there's anything secret that we're hiding or anything like that, but just if it's events that have to do with other people without their explicit permission, I don't feel comfortable sharing a lot of it. But I can talk kind of vaguely, about it. It was a paganism without the sorts of bells and whistles, without a lot of the names. It was really about, and still is for me, about experience. So my father was very big on focusing on what I now call the wheel of the year. We didn't call it that then, but being just very aware of the changes of the seasons. We were always encouraged to be outdoors and finding the relationship with the land that we lived on, and the vocabulary and the way that we talked about it was that we were part of that land. And it was never said, so we believe that we are part of the land and members of the ecosystem. It was just understood and communicated that way. And the other things that he was really big on that I look back on and very grateful for were experiences in terms of he would really appreciating that the awe of getting to exist and be part of this incredible world. So some of my earliest memories are sitting on our roof deck, just looking at the stars and practicing breathing together, looking at the stars. Or he would do things like find caves to take us down into and sit with us, turn the light off, and sit in the darkness of the cave and just experience those sorts of things. And then also big on teaching us tools that we could use that in today's people might call, magic, things like meditation or rituals, things like that. We never used that vocabulary, but visualization and meditation and things like that were tools that were very important for him to teach us. So later on, when I hooked up with larger pagan groups, the idea of grounding or entering into a trance-like state went, oh, great, got this. So that was just part of how we grew up. And then as I got a little bit older and was doing exactly what young teenagers or what you're supposed to do as an adolescent, reaching out and finding your own groups of friends. I started with the friends that we had already that were pagans, some even identified as witches, and started to learn a little bit more about the broader world of paganism and learn about the terms and start to find an identity to call myself that matched what our family culture had. And one of the things that came along with all of that, with a lot of the people who were pagans or into paganism, were also into permaculture, which was something that my family did and a lot of the pagans were really interested in. And from permaculture, that led me into pursuing science. So I went into environmental science for my undergrad, and that was a continuation of just every day was amazing, of learning all of, just every new thing I learned made me more curious, made me more interested in learning about the world and fascinated. And I had some really gems of instructors who were able to communicate what science really is, the process of investigation. And that became very important for me in exploring what my beliefs were using that process. And one of the most interesting things out of that for me was that I found other people who had the same approach. So I went to a little tiny college right next to LANL with Los Alamos National Labs. And the pagans that I got hooked up with there were folks who worked at LANL, and I was up there for a while too. And the most spiritual or people that I knew were scientists in a very non bells and whistles kind of way.
The spirituality of reality.
Yeah. It was just be a trip to hang out with these people and talk about life. And when I say talk about life, I don't mean, oh man, life, that kind of, but talk about life as in, let's talk about the chemistry of life and the, yes, that kind
of
thing.
Have you checked out photosynthesis?
Yeah, wow. Exactly, right? And then I got involved with the pagan community on YouTube. And that was the first time that I realized that there were people who believed in gods. Honestly did, right? I was exposed to Christians. I was exposed to some of those other religions, but it had none of the people that I had done Circle with or any of the people up at LANL or anybody that I could tell literally, sincerely believed in gods. And it was just a trip. It was amazing for me. And I would have comments on my videos from people, saying things like, you have to believe in gods or you're not a pagan. And it was just so strange. And it was the first time it occurred to me that I had to even distinguish between being a theist or a non-theist. And so over the years, that's kind of continued. And it's become now I've just make a point of saying, oh yeah, I'm a non-theist, earth-centered pagan. It was also quite amazing to me to learn that the earth-centered part isn't
universal.
Isn't universal. Yeah, that was, yeah. It was definitely eye-opening. So now here I am. I've been making videos on my own channel, and then I've been part of a channel called The Pagan Perspective, which is a collaborative channel with pagans from different practices, and the cast has changed quite a bit over the years, but each week we talk about different questions that the viewers have and explore it from different perspectives. So that's That's where I'm coming from with this.
Well, we have a great deal in common. We really do. And yet we also have a considerable amount of diversity because we're of different generations. Mm-hmm. You've chosen to have children and have a family and have go through that whole process and experience, and I have not. I feel like there are many fruitful conversations that we can have that will be interesting for others to listen to. So that's the theory behind this podcast. I should also say that I didn't really define where you can find my stuff. So if you go to atheopaganism.org, that's where you can find my website. And I am also on YouTube on the Atheopaganism channel. I don't have nearly as much of a YouTube presence as Yucca does, but there is some stuff there. So if you're interested, you can go and take a look.
It's actually how we got connected. You made a comment on one of my videos for the Pagan Perspective.
Yes, that's right.
I think it was titled something like, "No, you don't have to believe in gods to be pagan."
Is that right?
I think that was the video, there were quite a few comments of people saying, "Well, that's not a religion, it's just a philosophy."
Well, they're wrong, so clearly, you know, we solved that problem, but I thought that we became connected when you joined the Atheopaganism Facebook group.
Well, you invited me to join it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I invited you to join it.
And I have to say, it is a huge breath of fresh air to be in that group. There's so much happening on social media that's just exhausting. But, you know, I love going to that group and having real interesting conversations that are generally pretty positive. You know, even though we're tackling some pretty heavy topics.
Yes. Even when they're challenging, they're civil.
Yeah.
And when they're not challenging, they're kind. They're really warm. And to be honest, if it wasn't for that group, I wouldn't be on Facebook at all. I don't really go to my main feed much at all anymore. I'm mostly just in that group because those 1,750 people or whatever it is right now are genuinely seeking, how do we make joy in this world? How do we make this world a better place? How do we more deeply experience the wonder of being alive in this time and being humans on planet Earth? And those are the questions that I am most fascinated with. I don't want to fuck around with the trivial stuff.
Yeah.
I really don't.
We really have such a little time to do whatever it is we're doing. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly so. I am delighted. Let me say at the outset of this podcast, I am delighted at the opportunity to do this with you.
Likewise.
We're going to have some great conversations.
Definitely looking forward to it.
So what's our second question?
Yeah. Well, our second question is, why did we want to do this podcast? So we've been touching on that a little bit, but do you want to elaborate?
Sure. I want to talk about my vision of what paganism can really be, which I think a lot of other people are going to have an interest in. And it's not about symbols and witchy clothing and buying stuff and buying books or it's not about any of that stuff. It's about a deep, visceral human connection through the body of what it means to be alive on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
because to me, that's what's really meaningful. And it's full of sex and death and ecstasy and joy and wonder and bewilderment and confusion and all those things that are the human experience. And I just want to dive into that and just
explore. Yeah. I just want to echo everything you just said there. And I also want to provide a platform, not a platform, a discussion where, going back to the non-theist part, where people don't have to constantly be turned off from all of this because of some of the dogma that comes along with this pantheon, that pantheon, fairies, spirits,
souls.
So yeah,
ghosts,
souls, all of that stuff.
Absolutely. I feel like I don't want to tell anybody what to believe, but you don't need any of that in order to have a life that is filled with wonder and curiosity and exploration and discovery and sorrow and grief,
yeah,
and rage and all of the things that are our birthrights by being here on planet Earth as sentient beings.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do is to invite the listener into that deep conversation about what is meaningful for you. What do you feel is your true exploration? That's the conversation I want to have with everybody I ever meet, ever, at work, on the bus, in the bar. That's really the conversation that I want to have with people, because I think that's what fills me. That's what feeds me. So let's have that conversation.
Yeah.
There are so many topics that we can talk about here, and we will. Mm-hmm. We will explore ritual, and we will explore music, and we will explore sexuality, and we will explore death, and we will explore controversial stuff like cultural appropriation. I think would be a great topic for one of
that's our, a big one.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a real challenge for people in Western cultures who don't have much to go on in the way of a deep, rich ritual practice. And it's so easy to reach over into some other culture and say, I will take your symbols, I will take your masks, I will take your rituals. And it's not right.
Yeah.
It's just not what we should be doing. We should be creating our own. So
it can be hard to catch ourselves when we're doing it.
Yes.
To even be aware that is what we're doing.
Very much so, because just speaking for myself, I'm not speaking for you, Yucca, but I will say for myself, I'm this white guy, and I'm informed by many centuries of white guy culture, which are all about anything I can put my hands on, I'm entitled to. And that is a deep failing. And I keep coming up against it, and I keep having to realize once again, no, if you don't have permission, you don't own this. It's not yours.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you just brought up something that I think is incredibly important, is that process of self-reflection.
Yes.
So I suspect that's going to be a theme that we're going to come back to time and time again, is being able to stop, look at and evaluate ourselves and see if that matches with what our values are.
Yes.
Or what we want our values to be, because those aren't always the same.
Right. I suspect that we and our listeners are going to get to know one another a lot better through this process, which is a good thing.
And it might be a little messy.
Yes. No. Yes. I come from a long background of mess, and I'm up for more.
Well, wonderful. Do we want to get into our third question a little bit here?
Sure.
Yeah. So we have, what are the issues you think confront the non-theist pagan community that you would like to explore here?
Well, the first and most obvious to me is intolerance. Mm-hmm. And it's just so sad because I feel like paganism has the potential to be this truly transgressive, radical, revolutionary voice in our society. And I think it falls way short of that when it starts forming the circular firing squad.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, well, no, you're not one of us because you don't believe what we do, and what we do is the right way to do things, and what you do is not. And I have so little patience for that.
Yeah. And I think it turns a lot of people off.
Yes.
You know, I have comments on some of my videos. In fact, I was just talking with someone yesterday who was saying, I'm really interested in paganism, but I don't, you know, I don't believe in gods. I'm an atheist, so I guess mm-hmm. I can't be a pagan. Can I still celebrate the Wheel of the Year without being a pagan? You know, and of course my response was, of course you can be a pagan. Of course you can celebrate the Wheel of the Year. You don't need to listen to what these other folks are saying, that you have to believe the way that they are believing, that you need this particular pantheon or that particular or anything like that.
And this goes to the place where there is the most friction, which is the issue of factual truth.
Mm-hmm.
The Wheel of the Year exists whether you like it or not. The equinoxes and the solstices and the midpoints between them happen whether you recognize them or you don't. They are as true for Christians as they are for pagans. They're just real.
Yeah, and they influence all of us whether we're tuning into that or not.
Yes.
No matter how much we think our society is separate from the rest of nature, you know, it's not.
It ain't. It just ain't. And you can't escape that.
Yeah.
And it can't be. It can't be. Even in this very removed urbanized society, the simple fact is we are reliant on agriculture. We are reliant on the plant cycle. We are reliant on the magic of the sun on the soil creating life. And that's all you really need to recognize, in my opinion, to be a pagan.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. It's just that one thing. Sun, soil, life. Wow.
Yep. And if you choose to, I think that there's a lot of richness in celebrating that and connecting a little bit with it.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. You know, and there are these old traditions that we can draw forward that have such a comforting and joyous quality to them. I mean, dancing around a maypole is a very joyous activity.
Yeah.
And it's been done for many, many centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to agree about what it means. All we have to do is dance.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that goes back once again to the body.
Yeah.
We're very thinky people
nowadays.
And I'm guilty. I'm absolutely guilty of being a very thinky person.
Oh, me too. Yep.
But I believe that there is a power and wisdom in the animal self. That the more we can embrace that and integrate it with our thinky selves, the more connected we will be with the fabric of life around the earth. Mm-hmm. And the happier we'll be, and the better culture we'll create.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I have big dreams. I want to make the world a better place. I want to model culture that is not filled with guilt and shame and remorse, that is not filled with greed and avaricious competition amongst people, that is about kindness and connection and ecological sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to be an exponent of in the world, even though I'm only here for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what I want to stand for. And if I can voice that in this podcast and somebody else resonates to it and says, yes, I want to be one of those too, then I've done my job.
Yep.
Obviously, I'm not really sanguine about this. I'm pretty passionate about it. I have a lot of feelings around all this.
Well, that's fantastic, though. So.
Well, listen, let's talk about next episode. Ritual. We're going to talk about ritual. And I would imagine that's going to be a really interesting conversation because, Arwin, Yucca, I have no idea about what your ritual practices are like. None at all.
Well, that'll be something to share then.
It will. It'll be exciting.
And I've read bits and pieces of yours, but it'll be wonderful to hear you talk about it and see where we connect and differ.
It's an art form. And what that means is that there's no wrong way to do it. It's what moves you. And whether you are a pointillist or a realist or an impressionist, all of those are correct. All of those are moving and beautiful in their own way. So I really look forward to that conversation with you.
Me too. And I'd also love to touch on why and we do ritual and what specific kinds of rituals that we do.
Yes.
That'll be...
Really, that's a really important point because we've lost so much of it in our culture. Mm-hmm. We do so little. And when we do it, we don't even recognize it as ritual.
Yep.
You know, people do weddings and they don't really acknowledge, wow, look, I'm going through all these symbolic activities to inspire myself somehow and to build community around a given group of people. There's all that meaning that I think it's lost because people just think, well, I'm doing it because I'm supposed to do it. When people get married, they do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really strongly about the informed life, not going through the motions.
Yeah.
So
well, that's a little preview for next time.
Yes.
And before we finish up, do we want to do the segment on our cause?
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah. It seems like we both really believe in acting on our beliefs and supporting causes that fit with our values. So we're going to have a segment that highlights what those things are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because this is not just about us as individuals. It's about our connection with community and then our connection with the broader world. There's so much need right now. There's so much that has to go right in order for humans to persist and for the ecology of the world not to crash.
Yeah.
And we have responsibilities. And the two of us take those responsibilities seriously. And so that's going to be a part of what we do here. The Atheopaganism Facebook group is a community. As I said, there's close to 1,800 members there now. And for the past 2 years, we've done a poll where we've asked the members to vote for a charity that the community wants to support. And this year, in 2020, it's the Indigenous Climate Action Network, which is an Indigenous activist organization in Canada working on climate change issues. So indigenousclimateaction.org is the organization. And I strongly encourage people to go and contribute to them, find out more about them. They're a really amazing organization, and we feel really proud to be supporters of theirs.
Great. So I think you want to go ahead and wrap it up, and we will catch everybody next week.
It's been a pleasure, Yucca.
Likewise.
All right.